Ladies and gentlemen, welcome. Thank you so much for tuning in. Great to have you here, Henrik with Red Ice TV. Today for our featured interview, we are talking with Mark Collette, who joins us again on the show. Great to have you back again, Mark. Hope you're doing well. And of course, congratulations to the addition to the family.
Well, thank you very much. It's absolutely fantastic to be here. And it's even better to be here as a father, obviously, on the early hours of Saturday last week. I, along with my girlfriend, welcomed our beautiful baby daughter into the world. And it was a truly wondrous moment. And it has certainly transformed my life already.
Yeah, absolutely. I know how that goes. It's wonderful. Congratulations on the addition again. We definitely need this right now. If there's any people said that, right? If there's any rebellious thing you can do, it's having kids and lots of them if you're able and capable to, you know.
And obviously, the most rebellious thing is to have white children.
Oh well, yeah, of course, yeah, that's what I mean.
You know, we are constantly told, you know, oh, white people, stop having babies. It's bad for the environment. It's bad for the country.
Yeah.
It's bad for our nation. You're destroying the world. Oh, there isn't enough people in Britain now of working age. We'll have to bring in some immigrants. Well, why didn't we just have babies? Why was it bad for us to have babies? But now there's a shortage of babies. We need to bring in immigrants. Sounds like that's a bit of a plot to me.
A little bit of a hoodwinking game there. Yeah, and it's funny too. Like whatever we do, we can't win, right? Whatever we do, it's wrong, and they'll always use it against us in some capacity.
Oh, of course. But I am obviously very proud now to be a father. It's something I've always wanted, but it's been a long time coming. It gets increasingly difficult to find the right woman, and my search for that woman took a long time, but thankfully I discovered her, and here we are now with our little family, and hopefully in the future that family will grow. And it's been an absolute joy having our little girl around the house for the first few days. She is an absolute blessing.
Nice. And I heard she's sleeping a lot too, which is congratulations on that, because we didn't get that luxury. I was just up every other hour throughout the night.
She does sleep well. She sleeps especially well when she's curled up on daddy's chest. But it's not all roses. When she wants to be a little diva and throw a tantrum, she does look like she's auditioning for a role in the next Exorcist film when she really wants to.
Nice. That sounds good. All right. Well, let's shift over here from some of the good news to some of the bizarre news, Mark, and actually talk about what happened regarding... I invited you to talk about the Tommy Robinson hit piece. Well, we can get into that too. Is it Tommy Robinson? Is it his crew? Is it his gang? But regardless, for those of you who don't know, I think most of you saw it, there was a video released on Tommy Robinson's YouTube channel called... First, it was called... The Elephant in the Room. Then it was quickly changed to How to Burn a Real Nazi. And then I saw today that it's changed back to The Elephant in the Room as well. And of course, comments have been disabled. Even like-dislike ratio has been disabled. And I don't think that holds true to their other videos that they posted on their YouTube channel. Let's just say, take one example. Actually, comments are disabled. Okay, maybe they are for all of them. Regardless.
No. The comments... And the comments and the ratings were enabled for this video. The other videos where comments are disabled and ratings disabled, that's usually because the video is in limited state. Now, when I was informed about this video, I was in a labor suite, and my girlfriend was giving birth, and my phone started to rumble its way across the bedside table. So I thought I'd better check. And everyone was messaging me about this. And when I clicked on the video, it was getting so heavily ratioed that the dislikes were rapidly catching up with the likes. And all of the top comments were slating the video and asking the people who produced it why they produced it. And they obviously then decided to take the emergency measures of disabling ratings and hiding all the comments. And not only that, but they shortly after that changed the title of the video, as you said, to How to Burn a Real Nazi, which obviously is a very, very bizarre title and comes over as a threat. You know, they're saying I'm a Nazi and inciting people to come and burn me, all whilst my girlfriend was giving birth. And I couldn't really make any response at the time, because obviously I had much more important things to be doing.
Yeah, exactly. And it's funny how that always kind of happens at the same time, to be honest. You know, when it's big drama, usually it's just not the one thing, but like multiple things. So it's, oh, well, one very good thing and then one really kind of bizarre and bad thing. But so what was your take on it? Why did this happen? Is it, as far as I understood, it was actually very incoherent going through the video. Like, wait a minute, first they're talking about, you know, you, because you did an interview with this woman, but it seems to be focused on the woman. But then it's like majority of the video is about, you know, trying to, you know, guilt by association, attack you, smear you, slam you, and then back to this other woman again. What was her name again? I forget.
Her name's Shazia Hobbs.
Hobbs, that's right. And she was a woman that previously worked with the Tommy Robinson crew?
Well, there's several people who have been working with Tommy Robinson and are seeing through his movement and what's happening there, because there's a big, big problem with the counter-jihad movement, and that it's finally unmasking itself. Now, for a long time, people like myself, people like you, have been saying that this isn't a pro-white movement. This isn't a pro-British movement or a pro-European movement. In fact, this isn't a movement that's even about protecting the victims of grooming gangs. This is a movement that is about Israel first and about preventing or trying to gatekeep so that normal people don't take the ultimate red pill, so that normal people don't come to people like me, people like you, and other amazing content creators, because these people want to corral everyone. They want to keep them on the plantation. They want to make sure that everyone's digesting their rubbish and really doesn't ever rebel against the establishment in a meaningful way. Now, this has been backfiring because over the last couple of months, I've been speaking to Shazia Hobbs. I've been speaking to numerous other people. I've been contacted by Dion. She goes by the name Secret Sources on YouTube. And many, many people within the TR News movement or the Tommy Robinson movement or the counter jihad movement have started to ask questions. And many of these questions relate to a documentary that was meant to be coming out called The Rape of Britain. Now, The Rape of Britain is something that had been heavily fundraised for, people had donated lots of money for, and it was meant to be a full expose of the grooming scandal, a full expose of the grooming gangs, the number of victims. And people had been traveling around the UK collecting information, doing videos with victims of grooming. And people were told that this huge documentary was going to come out, it was going to blow the lid on it all, and it was going to lay it all bare like no one had ever done before. Because obviously we can't trust the mainstream media to report honestly on the grooming scandal or ever do a documentary like this. So it came to a point where Tommy Robinson was outside, I believe it was the Old Bailey in London or at one of, or the High Court, one of the two. It was outside at one of the major courts in London. And Tommy Robinson was on trial, and he said he had this big documentary. He was unveiling his next big documentary. So people were stood there watching the big screen, and everyone was waiting for him to start talking about the rape of Britain. But he didn't. This was a huge bait and switch. Instead of unveiling the rape of Britain, he unveiled a new documentary called Shalom. Now, Shalom is a documentary made by Tommy Robinson, with other people involved. I believe Ezra Levant's involved. I believe Avi Yemeni's involved. I believe there's been funding for this documentary from the Middle East Forum, which is a powerful Jewish group in the US. And this documentary, Shalom, is about a Jewish man who was driven out of Britain or driven from his home or was in some way damaged or harmed by mass immigration into the UK. Now, this has got you scratching your head, because one minute we're talking about grooming gangs, we're talking about the rape of Britain, we're talking about, you know, tens of thousands or even hundreds of thousands of girls who've been abused by these Islamic gangs. And the documentary that was meant to be documenting this in warts and all in its full, you know, horrible details. But instead, the documentary produced is one that makes Jews appear to be the primary victim of mass immigration in the UK. And all these working class folk, all these decent people who have been giving very, very generous donations to Tommy Robinson. I mean, it's been reported in the media that he took over £2 million in donations in a single year. All of these people have been giving him money. It's been poured into this Israel first nonsense. It's been poured into this Shalom documentary, this message that, in fact, the Jews are the big victims here, you know. And a lot of people are very unhappy about this. And Shazia Hobbs, she's a very brave woman. She's been on my show. I've done a video with her. She started to question this and look up who's behind mass immigration. And she came upon the Frankfurt School and she wrote an article for TR News calling out the Frankfurt School and saying what an effect cultural Marxism is having on the UK and how it affects attitudes towards things like immigration. And TR News ended up removing it because they said it wasn't attacking the right people. It was mentioning people that would get people questioning Israel, questioning the JQ. And because of this, she has now been sidelined and unpersoned by TR News. They've removed all of her articles, banned her from contributing to TR News in any way. And many, many others have seen this and started saying, well, what's the big deal? What did she do wrong? And now they've gone on the full-on offensive. Tommy Robinson is obviously in jail. And the way I see all of this is the puppet has been taken off the stage. And all that's left is the hand of the puppet master. And everyone's saying, wow, we can see what's going on here. Maybe people like Mark Collett were right about this. Maybe people like Shazia Hobbs, who's now appearing with Mark Collett, are also right. Maybe Dion, maybe Secret Sources, maybe she's got a point with her latest videos, which have been exposing this and calling this out. Maybe the other people leaving the counter-jihad movement have got a point here. So they're on full-on damage control, and that's why they've made this this smear against myself and against other people, because they're on the defensive, because they know they've been rumbled.
So it's a way to kind of like shift the attention and the focus. And it's like, well, here's the real bad guys, right? As a kind of a, yeah, damage control. They're trying to make up for the fact that they... It's very interesting, but this is usually kind of the trajectory of what happens, isn't it? To be honest, you know, you have people in the, you know, truth movement or whatever, and then eventually you come into some inconvenient information, some inconvenient truths, and then they decide to filter that. And of course, one of the reasons why people think that there's more to it than that, and maybe even financial interests behind Tommy that want to make sure that he doesn't talk about that is things like this, right? The Middle East Forum, for example, that have been apparently, I don't know the numbers or the amount here, but they have been shooting over money to Tommy for some time. He has a lot of contacts kind of in that sphere, like rebel media and things like that. And they, of course, are very poo-pooing things as soon as you begin to talk about influence of a particular group, because, you know, they have their reasons under the agendas for that. Again, very hard to say how, you know, planned and intentional all that is. It's just that they're dumb and kind of staying away from it. Or is it that they're actually actively funded and financed by interests who say to them, stay away from these topics, don't talk about that? That I don't know. What's your thoughts on that?
Well, I think that Tommy Robinson has now been... I'm not going to say he was behind this because I don't know. He's in prison.
Right,
at the moment.
Right. I was going to ask you about that. But yeah, go ahead.
I'm not going to say he was behind this because I honestly don't know. I know that the TR News website and the TR News YouTube page are obviously in the hands of other people, and we know who those other people are. So they are firmly in the clutches of the Zionists, and that's why this video has been made. So I'm not going to say it was Tommy until I know absolutely that he had something to do with this, because we simply don't know. We don't know what contact they have with him. I can't imagine they're on the phone to him every day.
No, no.
I can't imagine he would be allowed that kind of contact with his sort of followers or with people he works with on a regular basis. And if he does get a phone call a day, I'm pretty sure that would be to his wife and children, not to Avi Yemeni or Brian of, he calls himself Brian of London, doesn't he? But really it's Brian of Tel Aviv. Because when I recently debated him, he told me quite eagerly how he had moved to Israel from London so his children could be brought up in a less ethnically diverse environment and be around his own people. But quite interestingly, when I asked him, well, where do the English people go then? You know, if it's all right for you fleeing to Israel, but where do the English people? He didn't really have an answer for that.
Yeah, doesn't matter. Know.
It doesn't matter. No, where, who cares where the English people go? As long as we've got Israel.
We're all good. We're in the clear. Exactly. Let's light the powder keg and run. We have somewhere to go. So at the end of the video, they do say this. Tommy's aware of what has been going on in his absence. To say how disappointed he is with people he thought were on board with this movement would be an understatement, to say the least. But again, that's not confirmed. They could literally just insert this into it. I'm not saying his YouTube channel was you know, hacked or like taken over or whatever, but
it definitely wasn't hacked.
No, that was the wrong term. I mean, just that someone started producing videos outside of his approval. That's what I mean, right?
Yeah, definitely. But there's a lot of things swirling around at the moment. There's been several people on Twitter making serious allegations. I'm sure most of your viewers will be aware of Morgoth and his excellent channel. Well, he had Lucy Brown on his channel recently, and he produced quite a stunning piece where some very, very serious allegations were made about misappropriation of money. Lucy Brown made several allegations that money is being spent in the worst possible way. And it appears on all fronts as if the TR News sort of gang is becoming something quite disreputable, not just in terms of what they're pushing as a Israel first agenda, but also in the way that funds are being used and the kind of people who are involved. I mean, it seems now a guy called Daniel Thomas, he goes by the name of Danny Tomo, and people call him Tomo. Well, I've been sent news articles from the mainstream media that suggest that this man was actually convicted of being involved in a kidnapping plot. Now, that's very, very serious. And I've got to say this out in the open. Is it right for a man who's been involved in a kidnapping plot to be going and meeting victims of sexual abuse who may have been involved in, who may have been kidnapped themselves, who may have been involved in some kind of sex slavery, who've been drugged, who've been raped, who've been groomed? And this is the quality of the people. And I'm looking at this and thinking, you know, unless this is another Daniel Thomas and I'm wrong, you know, I'd hold my hands up if that's the case, but I've been assured it's the same person. And I've got to ask myself, what is going on there? You know, you've got this Israel first crowd, but you've also got people who are absolutely disreputable. There's allegations that money has been snuck away. There's been all these allegations made by people like Lucy Brown that money has been misappropriated. And they're not just coming from Lucy Brown. They're coming from a variety of people. There is an awfully large amount of people on Twitter who are tweeting out their own allegations and saying they want nothing to do with it anymore. And at the same time, the only information coming out of TR News is either smears on genuine nationalists or these bizarre documentaries which are trying to claim that Jews are the real victims of mass immigration, which is absolutely absurd. I mean, here in Britain, as you know, tens of thousands, maybe even hundreds of thousands of girls have been groomed, sexually abused, raped, sold into sex slavery by these grooming gangs. And that is now being brushed under the carpet so we can again give Jews the huge victim status badge they love so much.
Yeah, it's very aggravating when you do have a popular movement like this. And you know, again, I point this out continuously that yes, and you have as well. There's many areas where I don't agree with Tommy Robinson, but I've always been right there with him in regards to what it is that's happening to him, what the UK government is subjecting him to. And I'm not saying that that's some big plot or big conspiracy to kind of turn him into this kind of martyr or whatever by imprisoning him. But it has, on top, as a layer on top of all this, certainly kind of helped also to raise his profile. I mean, then that's just kind of a natural consequence of this. And therefore, a lot of people in the UK who are anti-immigration, the Islamification of Britain, the whole EU debacle, Brexit, etc., they've kind of flooded behind Tommy, if you will, in support of him, including with their hard-earned money and their donations and all these kinds of things. So it would be a absolute travesty if it's somehow designed to kind of steer the energy of a grassroots movements like that away and kind of shift it over to those guys. that might or might not have a political agenda on top of it to derail things and make sure that Britain doesn't end up talking about, well, who opened the floodgates to Britain and to all the other European countries? Who's benefiting from this, etc.? There's a lot of questions that could be asked in the wake of this.
There's a huge amount of questions that have to be asked in the wake of this. And the guy who has narrated this video, I mean, for starters, the guy narrating this hit piece, he sounds like he's had a lobotomy, doesn't he? He sounds like an utter moron. At one point in the video, he tries to say that Tommy Robinson is this great, consistent nationalist. And he actually says, Tommy is consistent. I'm not going to do his voice. He's more like, Tommy is consistent. You can imagine him, sat on his chair, dribbling down himself as he says it. And he says that Tommy is consistent. And apparently Tommy's consistency is that Tommy believes that Israel is the ancestral homeland of the Jewish people, and they have a right to that homeland. But at the same time, Tommy believes that England is not the ancestral homeland of the ethnic English people. In fact, England is the homeland of all people who have come there and called themselves English and have a British passport, whether they be white, black, Jewish, whatever. And these things are absolutely absurd, because if anything, that is the definition of inconsistency. And the video also makes it clear, this lobotomized moron also makes it clear, that Tommy wants nothing whatsoever to do with race-based nationalism. He wants nothing whatsoever to do with ethno-nationalism, which I find absolutely absurd, because how can anyone support the state of Israel but then state they don't want anything to do with ethno-nationalism?
That's correct.
When Israel has a nation-state law that really sets up an apartheid state whereby Jews are given first-class citizenship and many, many protections that no other racial group in Israel has. And interestingly, you have chief rabbis calling for DNA testing to allow weddings, to allow entrance to Israel. Yet Tommy Robinson supports Israel, which is the most ethno-nationalist state in the whole world. But at the same time, he claims that anyone can be English. Now, again, Tommy I don't know if Tommy had anything to do with making this documentary, but I'm talking about the guy narrating it. I'm talking about this lobotomized freak, this bottom feeder who was made, who's speaking over this documentary and saying these ridiculous things. And at one point, he even says to the camera, Tommy is not a Jewish shill. Tommy is his own man. His form of nationalism is the most pure form. I'm sat there thinking to myself, the fact you need to say such things, the fact you need to put that up on the screen and say that out loud, is evidence enough that these allegations are piling up to such a degree, and there is so much evidence, that this is just a damage control operation. There are enough questions being asked by enough people that they have felt the need to come out openly and state on camera that Tommy is not a Jewish shill. Well, I would like it explained to me by this lobotomized, low IQ moron why he has to explain this, and how isn't Tommy a Jewish shill? Because the fact of the matter is, we've all seen Tommy wearing Mossad t-shirts. We've all seen Tommy wearing badges that state that he is a Zionist. We know that Tommy has been to Israel, and we know that he has copious amounts of Israeli flags at his events. Now, this is very, very strange. And when you add this into the mix with the Shalom documentary, Avi Yemeni flying in from Australia, Ezra Levant flying in from Canada, the representatives of the Middle East Forum flying in from America, it starts to build a very, very clear picture that, on the contrary, there is enough evidence for one to credibly suggest that, in fact, Mr. Robinson may well be a Jewish shill. Now, I have always been very, very reasonable towards him, and I'm very slow to actually attack him, because I believe that his handlers are pushing the vast majority of this narrative. And I also have to say of his handlers, you know, it's great, isn't it? Are there no problems in Australia for Avi Yemini to deal with? Are there no problems in Canada for Ezra Levant to deal with? Are there no problems in America with their southern border for the Middle East Forum to deal with? It's amazing, isn't it, that all these people from all over the world who have such problems in their own nations feel the need to fly here to the UK to control the opposition here. Because these people clearly seem to have a great vested interest in Tommy Robinson and a great vested interest in capturing all forms of nationalism and patriotism the world over and misdirecting it into this fruitless Israel First movement.
Yeah, a lot of questions about that and why that is. I think one end, yes, there's actually, there's a lot of money in that, frankly. And I think that that's one part of it. But it could be, as I say, too, they might or might not try to build up Tommy Robinson's to some kind of bigger person, maybe a political person or some kind of grassroots movement that kind of represents the... I mean, I think that the dissent on a mass scale is kind of inevitable within the Western world. I think that more and more people are going to start being fed up with what it is that's happening. They're going to start asking questions. And as we know, in those moments, they do have to have individuals and people that kind of direct that anger and that they kind of funnel up that and again, kind of transmits that in the right direction, shall we say, right? So that could be part of it. And I think if you might be correct when you say that Tommy might kind of not be, he might not be handling all of that on the back end of things, that he's kind of directed by other people who tell him what to do and where to go kind of thing. And you know, again, it's like it's horrible what's happening to him and his imprisonment and all that kind of stuff. And people should obviously oppose to all of that. But who knows, you know, Mark, there could be a lot more going on kind of behind the scenes than what we are privy to and what they're trying to do with someone like Tommy Robinson. I'm not sure yet. I haven't made up my mind in terms of why they're doing this or how they're seeking to use him, if at all, in this capacity.
Well, I know there's been plenty of good people who have made videos about Tommy Robinson, who've called him out for his support for Israel. But it's more than that now. As I said earlier, when you see the allegations being made by numerous people about misappropriation of funds, about the bait and switch with the Shalom documentary, about all of these prominent sort of Jews, Israel firsters flying into the UK, all of these crooks that he surrounded himself with, people who, you know, if it is the same person that I've been sent the newspaper clips of, you know, convicted kidnappers going out and speaking to the victims of grooming gangs. The whole thing looks like a complete farce. This doesn't look like a movement for change. This looks like a movement that has been designed to fail, to lead people down a dead-end alleyway, to misdirect people's anger away from where it should be directed to stop people seeing who's behind these horrific things, to stop people finding out who's really behind the mass immigration into Europe, to stop people talking about ethno-nationalist issues. Because, I mean, that's got to be the biggest issue here in the UK. The biggest issue here in the UK is the fact that white people are already a minority in London, and they will be a minority in Britain as a whole by 2060. Now, that's a very, very frightening statistic, and it's even more frightening for me now because I've got a baby girl. You know, I don't want her growing up in that kind of world.
No.
But this documentary or this attack piece on myself, this 30-minute hit piece, is very, very against anyone talking about the demographic change. You know, it makes very, very clear at the end that Tommy Robinson is allegedly far more supportive of black people living here. He's an absolute supporter of the multicultural, multiracial agenda, as long as it doesn't involve Muslims, because Muslims might not like his Jewish friends. And this seems to be absolutely bizarre. And from a man who used to run the English Defence League, he doesn't seem to want to defend the English. In fact, according to this hit piece, he doesn't even know what the English are. Because to deny that there is an ethnic component to being English is absolutely absurd. In fact, there's a far greater ethnic component to being English, and there's a far greater claim from the ethnic English people to England than there is a claim for Jews to own Israel. I mean, the fact of the matter is, Jews hadn't lived in Israel for around 2,000 years before Jews were given this sort of right to return, as they called it, and were handed Israel on a plate. And that's a very interesting point. So Tommy Robinson believes people who have a religious claim to a piece of land that they haven't occupied for nearly two millennia, have this great right, but the ethnic English do not have that right, which is absolutely bizarre. And to me, it's not only bizarre, but it's also, in a very real sense, absolutely treasonous, because my interests lie here primarily with those of European descent and closer to home, with those of English descent who deserve a right to their ancestral homeland. And for a man who ran the English Defence League, again, seems like absolute hypocrisy. And when he gets out of prison, I'll be very interested to see if this video stays up, or if he makes any further statement on it as to whether he supports it or not, and if he does make any further progress with the documentary that people, you know, donated so generously for. And another thing, this guy who is always sort of floating around him, always on his shoulder, this Avi Yemeni, well, it's turned out he's a wife beater as well. This guy has just been found guilty of assaulting his wife. Again, not a man you'd want to be around a cause which is highlighting the plight of women who've been abused by Muslims, by a religious minority. And again, it's another hypocrisy. I'm pretty sure that if a leading Islamic campaigner had been found guilty of abusing his wife, Tommy Robinson and TR News would be the first to point it out. But as it's somebody of Jewish descent and one of Tommy's gang, I'm sure they'll be covering this up and no further mention will be made of it.
Yeah, I mean, it's amazing that they stay away from issues like this. And I showed some of the headlines here, but like white Britons will be minority before 2070, says professor. Guardian piece, the last days of a white world, this piece says. We are near a global watershed, a time when white people will not be the majority in the developed world, Britain included. Anthony Brown reports, and it goes on to talk about how great that is, essentially. These are the concerns that people like you and me talk about and say, this is very bad news. They are attempting to substitute the populations of many of these countries. We're asking questions, who are doing this? Why are they doing this? What are the agendas here? How do we stop this? How do we get the word out about this? Because I do genuinely believe most people of European descent, if they knew what the plan was and what is happening, would actually oppose it. I think our positions on this is actually very reasonable, and the majority of people would agree with us. But constantly, this needs to be deflected into things that they consider to be immoral in order to disqualify, to essentially, you know, guilt-rid the individuals that speak about that, to smear the messenger rather than look at the message and say, oh shit, that's like, this is not good. Especially when you take into effect, Mark, and you very well know this too, the kind of heightened rhetoric, really by the media establishment, but there's a lot of other organizations behind this too, to whip up this resentment and hatred against the, for now, white majority in many of these countries. That means that as these minorities grow, there is an increased resentment and hatred directed towards whites, as they somehow are responsible, right, for all their ills or for all the problems in the world, essentially. This could mean that our children, essentially, will grow up in a world and they will be adults and have children of their own in a world where they might be a hated and resented minority, where even discrimination laws are not going to exist to protect white people like they protect minorities in our countries now. That's what the concern should be here. Not Israel, not what's happening to in the Middle East right now. That's not of our concerns. Why are they even peddling so much in these issues, right?
Well, of course, and this Israel First movement is spreading throughout all forms of nationalism and patriotism, because it's being pushed For a few reasons. Firstly, so that no one ever questions who's actually behind these things. Secondly, because it makes many patriotic people think that wars in the Middle East are absolutely justified. And thirdly, it reinforces the idea in the minds of patriotic folk that Israel is something that is good, it's something that's just, it's something that Jewish people deserve, and it's something that we should all look up to and admire. But the interesting thing is, whatever they have for themselves in Israel is never extended to us. And one thing where Tommy Robinson and his entire organization, the entire counter-jihad movement, fails to have joined up thinking is the fact that whilst they all support Israel, whilst they all support a Jewish homeland that has a nation state law, that has strict immigration laws, that really has first and second class citizenship, depending on whether you are Jewish or not, that actually outlaws interfaith marriage, the same people that are cheering on the state of Israel want none of those things for any European nation. And I'll just say this on the subject of the interfaith marriages. Can you imagine if there was a country in Europe that prevented people from marrying if they were of a different ethnic group? Can you imagine if there was a law in, say, Sweden that prevented a Muslim marrying a Christian, or prevented a black person coming in from, say, Nigeria and marrying a girl who's of European descent? There would be absolutely huge outcry. And I think the outcry would be so large, there might even be sanctions put in place. Yet Israel has a system where leading rabbis have called for DNA tests before marriage ceremonies are carried out. Yet people aren't asking for sanctions. People aren't calling for any kind of disinvestment in Israel. In fact, quite the opposite. America is calling for laws against any form of disinvestment. Anyone who wants to boycott Israel is basically being put on a watch list in America. Isn't that amazing? Now, America is a country where obviously there was segregation. In the South, there was segregation. And I will tell you now, if there was a Southern state, or even if there was a church in a Southern state that refused to marry people of different ethnic groups or different denominations, there'd be outcry. There'd be absolute outcry. But that exists in Israel today. And the other, I just want to move on to something else just very quickly here about this documentary. It wasn't long ago that Tommy Robinson and TR News were saying, you can't believe anything in these smear documentaries. The BBC, Channel 4, ITV, they're always trying to smear Tommy. Poor old Tommy, he's always getting smeared. You know, they produced a documentary called Panodrama saying that Hope Not Hate, the BBC, they were smear merchants and couldn't be believed. Yet here you have TR News chopping up segments of old documentaries about me made by the mainstream media some sort of 17, 18 years ago when I was about 21, 22, and using them as little out-of-context snippets to try and smear me, which seems absolutely bizarre. And that's one of the reasons why I'm not going to say that Tommy Robinson is absolutely behind this, because Tommy Robinson's nailed his colours to the mast. He said that these documentaries made by the mainstream media simply can't be trusted. They simply can't be believed. Yet here are his news team avidly chopping them up, regurgitating them to try and smear real nationalists and people who dare to question the ultimate, dare to ask the ultimate question, which is who is behind mass immigration? Who is behind these demographic trends? And isn't it also very funny that Tommy Robinson constantly talks about the threat that Islam poses to the West? He's always talking about that's his thing. That's what defines him. Yet he never, ever mentions groups like Israel Aid or the myriad of other charities run by people of Jewish descent who are constantly
Hyas, Barbara Spector. I mean, the list goes on and on and on. You know, there's people who made compilations about this, just how many organizations there are. And the majority of other ones. There were speeches in New York where over 200 rabbis have signed paperwork on you know, bringing in refugees. And this was specifically to America.
There's
but this is happening in...
There. Quick correction there. It's over 1,500 rabbis.
Well, there you go. That's, so it's been updated now then. Yeah, I think the lady I heard in a speech, she said like 200 or something. But there you go. So the point here is that there is an approval, if you will, or at least a blind side, what do you call it, like just looking away at the issues that are happening in Israel. But when it comes to people who say even just minor things that resemble those things, well, maybe we should have that in the UK too then or something, right? Then it's an immediate attack on those issues and say, no, we can't have that, we can't have these things. But again, when it comes to Israel, we'll allow anything. It doesn't matter. Let's not talk about that kind of thing. So why do you think it is then that... One thing too is, it's funny that they call the video the elephant in the room, because I mean, if there's any concept that title belongs to, it's the very issue that we're talking about right now. And even the fact, if you do talk about the elephant, you usually get banned as well, right? So it's kind of a shifting of the focus. But they spent the majority of the video bringing up like old hit pieces on you that's like 17 years old or something like that, right? One was, what's the Trues guy, the tall British guy that showed up in some of the movies, the Hollywood movies. What's his name again?
Russell Brand.
Russell Brand, that's right. He did one of them, and then there was another guy, David something, which I found out when looking at this.
David Medell.
He lied about his own ethnic group, which ethnic group he belonged to, and kind of filmed you, you know, when you didn't know that the camera was on, to kind of like try to entrap you in stuff, right? So tell us about those two pieces, and why did they use that kind of stuff, right?
Well, it's really funny because you'd think, wouldn't you, if you were Jewish and you wanted to convince somebody who was skeptical of Jewish power or was knowledgeable of Jewish power and very, very skeptical of of Jews in the media. If you were a Jew and you were in the media and you wanted to convince somebody like me that Jews were, in fact, really good people and that they weren't what you thought they were, how would you best do that? Would you do it by
showing that beer mark? No, I'm just joking. Go ahead. Yeah, I like that.
this was in my very much younger days, and there you can see me drinking an entire pitcher of beer to myself. I don't drink anymore, but that doesn't mean I didn't have
Yeah, no, it's good. No, sorry, I didn't mean to throw you off. It's just kind of funny, but yeah, the
message for my daughter: if you're ever watching this. Yeah. Don't drink beer like Daddy used to.
Yeah, that's absolutely right. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I used to drink too a lot growing up in Sweden. It was all people did to entertain themselves. But luckily, I don't do that anymore. But yeah, so, you know, again, so the whole thing is like this. Well, let's bring this up from 17 years ago and drag your name through the mud. And it's just done for one purpose alone, you know, which is a smearing.
This guy, if he wanted to convince me that Jews weren't out to deceive people, he wouldn't have spent 6 to 8 months deceiving me and basically following me around, living with me for this fly-on-the-wall documentary, only to do the pullback and reveal at the end that, in fact, he is, of course, Jewish, and he's been secretly recording me. And it's quite interesting because at the time, I was in the British National Party, and discussing some of these things was quite sort of forbidden at the time. So I was quite embarrassed of this. I offered my resignation to the party and said I would happily leave rather than cause them any embarrassment, because I had an extreme sense of duty to the party. But many of the big gotchas that he had sort of secretly recorded me saying, by modern standards, they're not these huge gotchas, because we've advanced so far down the line that more or less everyone is talking about, or everyone in nationalist circles is talking about the demographic trends. They're talking about Zionist power. They're talking about the fact that we're becoming a minority in our own homeland. And I look back at those statements now. You know, I was a young man, and I'm certainly not going to be apologizing for them, but I look back on those statements now. And in some ways, some of them were quite prophetic, because I say quite openly that, you know, white British children being brought up in these places where Muslims are a majority or becoming a majority, it will be a hellscape for those children. And I think in the light of everything that's come about since that documentary was filmed in 2001 and 2002, I've been proved absolutely correct. You know, these children being brought up in places like Rotherham, places like Telford, places where horrific, horrific crimes have taken place on a massive scale towards white girls, often underage, sometimes in their teenage years. Everything I said in that documentary has been proved absolutely true. And these people who have tried to cover it up, these people who have tried to smear people like myself for blowing the whistle on this as far back as, you know, 2001 and 2002, they should hang their heads in shame because they are complicit with the rape of these girls. They're complicit in these crimes because they have actively tried to silence those who tried to blow the whistle on this, who tried to inform the public of the nightmare that was unfolding.
Yeah, it's like, don't talk about that. Just let's talk about what opinions you had as a young lad in the UK growing up being angry and resentful, you know, rightly so, or angry and resentful. But you know what I mean. Like, obviously agitated about the situation, right? I love how there's such a mechanism within society where they channel teenage rebellion and things like this all the time. They even, the system kind of even rides on that energy in certain regards. But if you've been in the, if you ever had wrong opinions as a teenager or, you know, late, early 20s or something like that, there's just never any coming back from that. You can't, there's no possible way that you could have been like going out on an extreme limb only to pull back and kind of find a proper center in yourself, essentially. Like, this is the normal development for any human being, including if you happen to be interested in politics. Or resentful against the establishment, essentially what they have done when it comes to opening the borders and all these kinds of things. So I totally understand it. It's like the whoop-de-doo. This happens every day. It's just that there are far more radical people that go to far left-wing politics, right-wing politics. This is kind of a normal development, really. But now my point is, now it's being dragged out and held against you almost 20 years later to kind of imply that you're just nothing happened, nothing changed, and kind of thing, or that you haven't developed since, which is just kind of retarded to take that approach, frankly.
It's not that it's being dragged out that bothers me. It's who's dragging it out that bothers me. You see, I would expect the far left, I would expect liberal groups, I would expect people who are meant to be on the opposite side of the political spectrum to be dragging all of this out. I would expect people at Hope Not Hate or Antifa to be raising these points. I'd expect the BBC to be using old footage. I'd expect Channel 4 to be using old footage. That wouldn't shock me at all. But the fact that a so-called nationalist group, a so-called patriotic group here in the UK, is using this footage to attack people like me. And what you've got to remember about myself is, in 2004, I was arrested for making speeches in Keighley and Bradford and Leeds, places in West Yorkshire, and I was making speeches about grooming gangs. I was taken to court and I was threatened with a 7-year jail sentence for 8 counts of incitement to racial hatred because I made speeches in the run-up to the 2004 European election exposing the extent of the grooming scandal because I was working with families who were victims of the grooming scandal back then. Now, I was doing all that long before Tommy Robinson, TR News, or this lobotomized retard were even, you know, narrated that documentary, were even on the scene. I was doing this and I was putting my well-being at risk long before any of them were doing anything about it. And now they are choosing to smear me and attack me. And people can march around chanting Tommy and saying Tommy exposed all this in Rotherham. No, he didn't. There's enough footage of people like myself campaigning in towns like Keighley and exposing the grooming scandal as far back as 2004. I remember, and I've still got them all, I've got them on external hard drives and old computers, leaflets that I designed talking about grooming. I've got leaflets that had runs of 50,000 plus that were all about the plight of these young white girls in old northern mill towns all around northern England. I was doing that long before Tommy Robinson turned up. And for these people to attack me for that and attack me for being part of the British National Party, when Tommy Robinson himself was a member of the British National Party at one time, it's just absolutely sickening. It's almost as if not only are they ready to smear me, not only are they ready to use establishment footage to attack me, but they are also willing to write me out of the expose of these horrific crimes, which I was absolutely involved in. And the sentence that I was looking at for 8 counts of incitement to racial hatred, it was a maximum 7 years in jail. And that was for genuine campaigning. That was for something where we were trying to win seats, where we actually got councillors elected in some cases, trying to turn this back. We weren't just bringing in huge amounts of money and it disappearing into thin air, or allegedly far worse, according to the allegations made on Morgoth's channel. Everyone should watch that video. Please take the time after this to go to Morgoth's channel, Morgoth's review, and see what I'm talking about. But the money we raised went on fighting elections. It went on getting councils elected. It didn't go on bogus documentaries to make you feel sorry for elderly Jews and to make it look like, oh my gosh, aren't the Jews the victims here? Because they're not. The Jews are not the victims of mass immigration. They are not the victims of Muslim gangs. The victims of these Muslim gangs are white working class girls, overwhelmingly white working class girls.
Yeah, and Inisu pointed out too, at this stage, they have a country also that they can go to, a safe haven that's just for them. It's ethnically pure. They have laws in place to protect them in these kinds of ways. And they are totally fine with that. They never even discuss that. But then if you have any kind of similar proposal for European nations, that's it. You're a Nazi kind of thing, right? And it's so disgusting that they're doing it in this capacity and willing to throw you under the bus. Instead of just like, well, okay, you might not agree then with the opinions you had 17 years ago, but just don't talk about it then. Like, but again, it's clear that it's guilt by association. They're trying to smear Shazia, and they're doing it through you. And then, like, I mean, look, in the beginning, they even like bring up like, oh, you had a poster of a band on your wall, and then they go into this whole thing about the musicians and what he posed with the musician that you liked or something. It's like, where is this even going? Like, it's kind of incoherent and poorly made too. It's like, I was all confused in the beginning. Like, what am I looking at here? You know what I mean?
Well, you've got to say, look, a lot of people have got posters of Michael Jackson on the wall. It doesn't mean
anything. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I know. So how about this one? Let's address some of these things as we're coming up here towards the end of the hour mark. But we believe wholeheartedly that Tommy's nationalism is the purest form of nationalism. Whatever that means, the purest form of nationalism. It's not a nationalism based on the color of your skin. It's a nationalism based on your love and devotion for your country. Well, guess what? Most of the people that love and have a devotion to the country are those that do have an ethnic bond with the country. As we've seen, demonstrated time and time again, in fact, is that a lot of people that are coming into the UK and other European countries, even America, actually have an inherent hatred and resentment for the country that they come to. There is certainly not an appreciation where they say, oh, well, there are a few of those. There are exceptions, sure, but the majority, no. There's no like, thank you so much for letting me come here and whatever you guys decide to do, I totally understand. Like, if you guys want to have control of your borders, I definitely get that. No, instead, it's like this whole voter bloc that's being imported in. They vote far left to pry open the borders, to like literally flood the whole country. And then there's like a resentment and a hatred and putting down of the native population that have ultimately allowed you to come and stay temporarily in the country. So this idea that it's a pure form of nationalism to say, well, it has nothing to do with ethnicity, it's just backward and childish to think that that's somehow going to work. What is the unifying factor? The love for the paperwork that surrounds the country? Well, everyone likes the law and order, even if it's the Constitution or, you know, the Magna Carta or something like that. Like, that's nothing that lasts in the long run, and people don't care about that. You have people that come into the country, though, that are vehemently ethnically aware, and they're very aware that they are different from the native people that they come into, the country that they come into. But what's your take on this about nationalism and patriotism?
Look, nationalism is obviously what we represent, and we represent real nationalism. A patch of land gives birth to a group of people, and that group of people, they work that land, they protect it, they live on it, they develop a culture, a heritage, a set of traditions whilst living on that land. And that land then becomes defined by the people it gave birth to. The land and the people are then intrinsically linked. England would not be England if it were not for the people who made England, England. And those people were people of European descent. They were people who are ethnically English. You can't separate the two. You can't say that the two are distinct and separate. And you can't say that people who have come here in the last 50, 60 years, whose ancestors had nothing to do with the creation of England, are just as English as people whose ancestors have lived here for tens of thousands of years. That is ridiculous. And for Tommy Robinson and for his little news team to be suggesting this is absolutely absurd. It's completely nonsensical. Because if, let's say, I went to live in Nigeria with my girlfriend. Let's say I was living in Nigeria with my girlfriend when my daughter was born. And if my daughter grew up in Nigeria, people would say to her, oh, where do you come from? And if she turned around and said, oh, Nigeria, I'm just as Nigerian as you, she'd be laughed at. People would mock her. People would say, oh, don't be silly. You're not. Where do you really come from? Where do your parents come from? Where do your ancestors come from? And that would be totally normal. It would be totally acceptable. And for her to call herself Nigerian and pretend that she was as Nigerian as someone of African descent whose ancestors had lived there for generations would be absurd. And if she said such a thing, I would say to her, don't be so silly. We're European. We happen to live here, but we're certainly not Nigerian. And you might hold a Nigerian passport, but you'll never be as Nigerian as, you know, those of African descent around you. That would be completely acceptable and no one would bat an eyelid. But if somebody who is black lives in England and somebody says to them, oh, where do you come from originally then? There's uproar. There's absolute uproar. People are gasping. People are saying, how can they say such a thing? They're just as English as us. They're just as English as Yorkshire pudding. What are you talking about? This is absolute nonsense. But it's not nonsense at all. It's common sense. Whilst people may come to England and have England in their heart, they may come to England and make it their home, they are never going to be English in the same way as those who are ethnically English. Because there is an ethnic component to being English. There's an ethnic component to being French. There's an ethnic component to being Japanese or Nigerian or Somalian. And there's nothing wrong with that. Unless, however, you're living in a white country and that's completely denied. And for a so-called nationalist group to be spreading this, to be pushing the multicultural, multiracial agenda and trying to effectively erase the idea that ethnicity has anything to do with birthright and ancestral claim is just complete heresy.
Yeah, exactly. There's no there's no propaganda going on with trying to replace Europeans. You know, there's nothing like that happening. It's just you're into a conspiracy theory that doesn't exist, right? There's one passage here as well. If you love your country, if you want to defend your country, then stand with us and don't let those who follow a bastardized and hateful form of nationalism sow division, hatred, and disunity. Now, the very aspect that there is a lack of understanding that the globalists, the establishment, the usual suspect, the people we're talking about who are doing this, who are behind the propaganda and the policy towards this, they have used immigration as a sledgehammer against traditional Western societies. They have caused disunity. They have caused division with the aid of this. There are even people internally in our countries now that have falling out with their own family members because one is pro-immigration and the other one is anti-immigration. Immigration and bringing large swaths of other ethnic groups from the third or second world or whatever into you know, Western countries has been one of the biggest acts of division that I think I've ever seen. And so this is just this kind of, I don't know what this is, if it's just stupidity of thinking that, oh, well, if you just accept everybody or let anybody in, anybody could be British and let's not divide us. And it's like, well, we're already divided. And again, they're using this even further to create chaos so that they can come in with their order later on and say, see, you know, things are being destabilized and stuff. I mean, this goes back to like the World War II with like stay behind armies. And, you know, there's all these programs running in Europe of like how to destabilize the governments and things like this so you can come in with like authoritarian order and essentially you know, come in with solutions, if you will, to these problems that are going to be beneficial to you and to your new world order, to your global order essentially. So this line here I think is just stupid, that it's like division is what they're doing to us every day by having our borders open essentially.
Well, I've watched the documentary. In fact, when I watched it, I watched Mr. Metica's take on it, because that was the most amusing I saw, his breakdown of it. But I didn't actually watch it again in its entirety, in its unedited form. But that particular slide that you've got on the screen is probably the most telling. If you took away the TR News graphic up at the top and you didn't see it was on the Tommy Robinson channel and you just read that little quote there, that could be something from Hope Not Hate, couldn't it? That could be an Antifa quote. You know, don't let these people come into our communities and sow division and hatred. Don't let them split us apart. Let us all stand together. You know, these hate-filled nationalists coming here from the outside, these outsiders coming in to destroy our community. That looks like it's been lifted from a Hope Not Hate leaflet. And when your own material, when a nationalist group's material looks like it could have been lifted and edited from a Hope Not Hate flyer, that really says an awful lot, because that's exactly the same kind of rhetoric that anti-racist groups used against Tommy Robinson when he stood in the Northwest for election to the European Parliament. That's exactly the kind of rhetoric that these community anti-racist groups, as they call themselves, used against him. And here are his handlers wheeling out a quote like that. You know, disunity, hatred, division. I mean,
it could be pulled from like an ad for some corporation that's trying to sell some, you know, multicultural juice or something. You know, I mean, it's ridiculous, right? I mean,
I think I'm onto something here, because I bet this is exactly the kind of thing that some Jewish group would write as part of a community newsletter about Tommy Robinson coming to town to do a protest or a march. That's exactly the kind of thing they'd use against him. Yet here we have his Jewish handlers saying exactly the same thing about me. And isn't it awfully telling that they use exactly the same language? And, you know, if they are trying to prove to their members or to the wider nationalist community that there isn't any Zionist control over TR News, I think that statement alone, that little snippet alone, is so illuminating that anyone who is switched on in any way could see exactly who's behind this nonsense and who is pulling the strings over at TR News.
Yep, good takedown there on that, because it's so aggravating to see when these supposed you know, rebels and fighting against the establishment or whatever, they just regurgitate propaganda essentially used by the same globalists they claim to oppose and just smear it and slam it onto some other person. And the fact that they also, and you see this continuously within like alt-light circles or whatever you want to call it, like the, you know, the kind of the MAGA conservatives or whatever, kind of the neocon-ish type of groups, they immediately are very happy. Like, they know that mainstream media might lie about them, and they, this is categorically false, and they're smearing me and stuff. But they're willing to take that package that was smeared upon them and just pass it on to someone that's a little bit further to the right or a little bit more nationalistic or whatever than them, and they buy into it. But that, to me, shows that they're not true activist that does have the best interest for, like, the UK or other whatever nation they're operating in, that they don't have those interests at heart. It's more about, you know, protecting themselves. And if they were genuine about it, again, yes, they might not agree, but the effective way is to just don't talk. You don't see, like, Hillary going up on stage. She's gone now, but some other Democratic candidate, like Booker or something, or Kamala Harris shows up on stage, or Joe Biden, to smear, like, this little kind of far left communist group or something like that that's happened to attend one of their meetings or something. I mean, you just don't see that happen, but that happens continuously within these circles, where it's just like they're so afraid of a bad word that someone is calling them. But again, by the very establishment that hate and resents them anyway, why are you even seeking their approval? Why are you seeking their moral justification, or trying to look good in these people's eyes? I just don't understand it, to be honest.
Oh, no. The fact is, these people aren't going to win any friends from inside the establishment.
No.
For this groveling hit piece. It's not going to win them any friends. The reason, but they're not doing it to win friends with inside the establishment. In fact, they're using the establishment's rhetoric. And towards the end of the documentary, there must have been about 5 minutes of footage allegedly taken from death camps in the Holocaust, because they're so desperate to use the same rhetoric as the globalists, as the internationalists. Well, they are the globalists and the internationalists, aren't they? They're the people who are running this show. And they're using the same rhetoric to keep our people in chains. They're telling their own supporters, well, don't you go and listen to that Mark Collett. Otherwise, you're a Holocaust denier. Otherwise, you're a racist. You're sowing disunity. And yet again, they are using the same rhetoric as Antifa, as Hope Not Hate, as the mainstream media. All of these groups they claim to despise, all of these groups that they claim Tommy Robinson opposes, well, they're using the rhetoric of those groups in Tommy Robinson's hit piece on me. Because when it comes down to it, the people who've produced this, they will use the same dirty tactics, because ultimately they don't want change. They don't want genuine revolution. They don't want people questioning certain historical occurrences. They don't want people asking who owns the media. They don't want people saying, who are those behind the Hollywood agenda? Who are those running the porn industry? Why have we got feminism being pushed on an industrial level? And who were the people behind feminism? They don't want people asking, who are those behind Hias, behind Israel? Why are rabbis always arguing amongst themselves, but absolutely united on the issue of mass immigration? Because I actually remember the discussion that you're talking about, where the young Jewish girl gets up and she says, we've got, and at the time she said they had 1,200 rabbis, but by the time they finished, they had over 1,500. But she says, we've got 1,200 rabbis to agree that mass immigration for America is a good thing. She said, rabbis don't agree on anything, but the one thing they do agree on, the one single thing they all agree on.
Here, I found it. Let me play it, Mark, because it's actually really good here. Let me see if we have the volume on this too. Yeah, here it is. Let me see if we can listen to this here. Come on.
Last week, Hias organized a letter signed by over 1,200 rabbis. Can you imagine getting 1,200 rabbis to agree on one thing? Was to ask our elected officials not to halt or even to limit the United States Refugee Admissions Program.
Yeah, there you go. So there we have it, right? So, but see, we can't talk about that. That's not of interest. Well, what does it matter anyway? When it's like, well, I mean, well, what does it matter if they are, come from the Judaic faith or something like that? And it's like, well, what does it matter if they're Muslim then? You know, all the things that they talk about, and like, oh, Islam is taking over and all these things. It's like, okay, well, I would talk about it no matter what ethnic group or religion it was that was doing it. If it was the Hindus or those damn Greenlanders or the Amish, for that matter, was coming in and manipulating and opening the borders of another country and stuff like that. I'd talk about it just the same, you know, kind of thing. But yeah, it speaks for itself, doesn't it?
It certainly does. And, you know, here's a quick question for that lobotomized cretin who narrated that hit piece on me. If you are so opposed to Islamic immigration into the UK or into Western nations or white nations, whether that be European nations or nations like Australia and America, if you are so opposed to that, and you are so opposed to the Islamification of the West, if you're so opposed to mosques being built, if you're so opposed to Sharia courts, why aren't you questioning Hayas? Why aren't you talking about it was 1,500 rabbis in total in the end that signed the letter. Why aren't you talking about the 1,500 rabbis and why they want more Muslims coming to Western nations? Because surely the issue at hand here isn't just the Muslims that are already here, but the people who want to ensure that more Muslims come here. Because if you genuinely are against the Islamification of the West and mass immigration from Islamic nations, surely you want to stem that flow and you want to expose those who are behind it. And this is a very interesting point, because their answer to this is usually that ultimately, you know, Jews have different opinions, and there are plenty of Jews who don't agree with mass immigration. Well, I've never seen that. I've never seen plenty of Jews who are against mass immigration. Surely some are, but the majority of Jews seem to be united for mass immigration, and certain that they are united in America, where 1,500 rabbis signed that letter for Hayas. But here's a small point. If I was living in another country, in fact, I've been to other countries. I went to Latvia, and I loved being in Latvia. And when I was in Latvia, I was speaking to some Latvians at the war memorial, the memorial for the Axis forces who fought against communism. And I said, this is an absolutely fine memorial. I said, I really enjoy being here, and I'm here to honor the people who fought against communism. And a Latvian guy said, oh, it's great you're here. I said, oh, we love it here. He said, your country's magnificent. And he said, oh, well, we like you. And, you know, we do like the British. But one thing that really puts us off about British people is they come here and they urinate on our war memorial when they're drunk. And I felt deep shame. And I said, we're certainly not going to do that. And if I saw any British people here doing such a thing, I would physically prevent that from happening. And I would happily speak out against British people doing that, and I would shame them, and I would be happy if you imprison them. I certainly wouldn't call for any clemency. They deserve to face justice for doing something so horrific, because it not only dishonors your war memorial, but it also dishonors Britain. It makes people like us look terrible. And I was very honest about that, and I've spoken about this on streams before, how I think British people behave in a terrible way, and I speak out against them. But every time I hear people say, well, many Jews are against mass immigration. Well, if many Jews are against mass immigration, if there are Jews like Avi Yemeni, Jews like Brian of London, why aren't they calling out Hayas? Why aren't they calling out Israel? Why aren't they calling out the Jews in Hollywood, the Jews behind feminism, the Jews behind mass immigration, the Jews behind pornography? Because whilst I will happily call out fellow Brits who act in a disgraceful manner or go abroad and act in a disgraceful way, why is there this conspiracy of silence from these so-called anti-immigration Jews when it comes to calling out the many, many Jews who act in such an anti-Western manner? Because that, to me, is one of the most startling observations you can make. It's another one of these hypocrisies. Because what it seems to me is that while some Jews do try to enter a nationalist movement, do try to co-opt nationalist movement, do try to steer nationalist movement, they all still have a tribal preference that prevents them from speaking out in any way against Jewish groups who endanger the countries that they're living in. And that is something that when I posed these questions, when I recently debated with Brian of Israel and several other Jews, none of them had an answer to that.
Yeah, it's a good point, Mark. I showed this study here too, which is kind of interesting. Many Jewish people themselves feel they were threatened by. You know, I don't know if this went down in the books as a hate crime or if it was just like it says, yeah, they attacked or threatened you in a way that frightened you because you are Jewish, right? And who's doing this? Well, the people that many of them advocate for coming into these countries that are listed there, France, Sweden, Germany, and the UK, ironically, right? So something's going on. But again, they do have the option of going to that country with that big, nice, beautiful border around it where no one else can be let in but them, right? So they do have an escape route. Mark, we're going to wrap up there. I know you're busy, and we're going to prep for the upcoming live stream that we're doing from the Democratic presidential debates. It's starting around, I think, 7:45. Yeah, we're starting at 7:45 on YouTube. I do like a 50-minute pre-stream, and then around 8 p.m. Eastern, we'll funnel everyone over to DLives. We actually can watch it because people were given strikes last time that they were kind of restreaming the debates and stuff like that, which is kind of ridiculous when you think about it, but it is what it is. So make sure you join us for that for much more. But Mark, plug some of your stuff. And again, thank you for coming on and sharing some of your thoughts about this weird little documentary. It was just a weird video attacking you over Josiah Hobbs, essentially. It was great getting your take on that and hearing from you. And again, congratulations on the additions to the family, Mark. But yeah, plug some of your stuff here at the end.
Thank you so much. And I'd just like to say, if I haven't been my usual chatty or lucid self tonight, or if I've fallen over my words, I think it's probably because I'm a bit more tired than usual. Having a little bundle of joy in the house doesn't always mean you get joy all the time. Around 1 a.m. when she's crying for her feed, I do hear it. And we have been very, very busy. So I hope I hope I've not been too tired tonight. But thank you to everyone who's been here.
Yeah.
You can visit my website, www.thefallofwesternman.com. And there you can download my book for free. You can follow me on Twitter or you can sub me on YouTube. And I just want to give another shout out to Morgoth because his video on this subject is very important. And I will be live tomorrow night for Patriotic Weekly Review, my weekly show. And on Friday, I usually produce a video, which is comes out weekly, my weekly videos. But I will not be doing that because I've been very, very busy this week with the baby. But I will be doing a live stream on Friday talking about my experiences with the baby and doing a quick sort of ask me anything about the sort of fatherhood issue, because it is something that I've kept very closely guarded until I announced the birth of my daughter for obvious reasons. But now I'm obviously willing to speak about that more openly. So I look forward to seeing anyone there who wants to join me.
Awesome.
Thank you so much for having me.
Yeah, thank you, Mark. Really appreciate it. Keep up the good work and we'll talk soon again. Thank you. Great having you here. All right, that's Mark Collette. Thank you so much, everybody, for joining us. It was great having you here. Special thanks to everyone at redicemembers.com for joining us and tuning in on the members' website. We can't do this without you guys. Also, of course, if you're interested, check out the merch on redice.tv/store. We have some really good prints and t-shirts there as well. That definitely helps us out. But guys, we'll be back here shortly with more. As we said, the Democratic presidential debates are coming up, so definitely make sure you tune into that information on redice.tv and, of course, our YouTube channel, or just go to dlive.tv/redicetv for once it starts up around 8 p.m. Eastern, 2 p.m. Central European time. See you then. Thank you so much. Take care. We'll talk to you soon.